I'm here with Mayor Mark Mallory. Mark, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Howard. It's a pleasure to be here.
You made a speech 1 week before the election, a State of the City speech at the Ensemble Theater in Over the Rhine. Very interesting speech, very interesting setting. One of the things that struck me about what you said was about your legacy as mayor. And you said you didn't want it to be the streetcar, you didn't want it to be the banks, the revitalization of Over the Rhine, or the work that's been done in the neighborhoods. What you said was, I simply want my legacy to be that I said I was going to change the direction of the city of Cincinnati, and we did that. Tell me exactly what you mean by that and how you have accomplished that or where you might have fallen short in that.
Well, you know, when I did the assessment of whether or not I should run for mayor in the first place, this would have been a couple of years before I announced. As I saw the city, we needed a different style of leadership. We needed a different focus on what I saw to be important. We needed to be more strategic in our economic development efforts. I ran on this whole concept of ending the chaos at City Hall because things seemed crazy there in terms of the process and the way business was done. And I got elected, and we embarked upon this change. I said we needed to change the direction that the city of Cincinnati was going in. And I really feel that we did that. I feel that we've been very focused on the creation of jobs. We've been very focused on revitalizing downtown Over the Rhine and putting resources into our neighborhoods. I feel like we have changed the national and international image of the city. We have gotten all kinds of awards and accolades and been written up in national publications about the great things that are happening here. Those things weren't happening before I became the mayor. And that was the real push. That was the real effort to change the way people perceived our city and to change the way we went about doing our business so that we could be more successful when we took on ventures.
But that was a perception from the outside, but you also wanted to change the perception from Cincinnatians themselves towards their city.
Absolutely. I mean, I felt before I became mayor that we didn't take on big challenges, that we didn't really face obstacles with optimism. I felt that we were easily dissuaded and convinced ourselves that we couldn't do it or that we wouldn't do it or that we weren't good enough or we didn't deserve it. And I said, these things are important. We've got to change the way we think. We've got to change the way we approach issues, challenges, opportunities. And I really feel like in the last 8 years, we've done that extremely well. We've changed that mentality. We've changed that outlook. And that is what is leading to the success that we are seeing in Cincinnati now.
When you talk about projects like the banks, which has obviously been successful up to this point, the revitalization of downtown, the changes in Over the Rhine, there's no one person, no mayor can do that by themselves. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely. What you're talking about in terms of seeing the advancement in all of those areas, and I will hold out the banks for just a second, though. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about an unleashing of energy. You're talking about a leader that's able to say, all right, folks, go out there and get it done. And people go and do what it is that they are charged with doing and what they are responsible for doing. I will step back, though, with the banks in particular, because the banks was a little bit different. The banks deal had fallen apart. The banks it was complicated to pull it together. There was this period where everybody told me, you need to walk away from the deal. Just leave it alone. Let the county try to deal with it. Let the county fail and then blame the failure on the county. And I said, absolutely not. There's no way that people are going to make any distinction between the county's failure and the city's failure. I said, the county's failure is the city's failure. If that project doesn't go, the hole is in the city. It's not that it's, you can't separate the city from the county. That's no way to think. So in that particular case, I did stay in there. And I stepped forward and I worked with then Commissioner Phil Heimlich on the continuation of the effort to get us there. I'm never going to get 100% credit for doing the banks. I shouldn't get 100% credit for doing the banks. A lot of people were involved in it. But I'll tell you, if I hadn't made the decision to stay in there and continue to work with the county, we wouldn't have a deal.
You talk also about the financial situation of the city and the budget situation in your speech, and you said it wasn't as gloomy as some people have made it out to be, but you did say that, you know, there have been these budget cycles where you've cobbled together budgets with bubble gum and shoestring. That has to change, doesn't it? I mean, in the future, there has to be more stability in terms of the finances of the
city. Well, it absolutely has to change. The question is, are people willing to accept what's necessary for the change to take place?
What is necessary?
Well, you have a situation where the revenues aren't keeping pace with the expenditures. And in the areas where you can cut expenditures, you can't cut enough in order to make the expenditures match up to the revenue. So you have a situation where, excuse me, some decision is going to have to be made about increasing revenue or dramatically decreasing services. When government is spending money, it typically is spending money providing some service to its citizens. So the citizens have to decide what service are we willing to do without.
And you have to add on top of that the city's pension situation.
Well, that's
where you have this $870 million shortfall. Some tough decisions are going to have to be made there, too.
There are some tough decisions to be made there. The pension issue is a little more complicated, and that one is going to require some changes, I believe, some changes in the structure itself. But you also have the benefit of time when you're dealing with the pension system, because you're dealing with investments, and those investments can grow over time and so on. So, you know, the budget situation has not been an exciting one over the last 8 years. It has been challenging, but we've been able to balance the budget each and every time. And we've been able to continue to provide a level of service that I think our citizens expect. And, you know, the next mayor is going to have the challenge of figuring out over the long haul. Now, I will also say that the investment structure that and strategy that we have put into place in terms of the creation and retention of jobs is going to help over the longer term, because as more people work and more taxes are paid, we're going to be able to collect more, and the future mayor will have that additional revenue available to help balance the budget.
Speaking of your successor ran on a platform of doing away with the streetcar. Mm-hmm. And the streetcar has obviously been a very important project to you. You've obviously believed in it from the start. He's already talked to Valerie Jarrett at the White House about redirecting federal funds away from the streetcar project and towards other projects in Cincinnati. What are your thoughts about where is this going, and can it and should it be completed?
Well, it certainly should be completed. You said in the build-up to this question that the streetcar project is important to me. The streetcar project is important to the future of Cincinnati. This is a project that brings together a lot of economic development opportunity. It brings with it the opportunity for revitalized housing, for the creation of new jobs, for the expansion of business, for the attraction of new business. It brings the ability to connect urban job centers. The downtown Cincinnati eventually will be connected with uptown. This is something that was a subject in 14 different studies done in the last several years about economic development, why it's important, and what you need to get out of it. And everybody that's looked at our city has said you need a streetcar system to connect these economic centers. So those things are important. Whether or not the project can be stopped, who knows? Bottom line is, if it doesn't move forward, it will be very expensive. The money that has been paid for by the federal government will have to be paid back. The money that is remaining that the federal government allocated will go back to the federal government. It will not be available for alternative transportation projects. That money was all specific to passenger rail projects. It was applied for in that way. These were grants that were awarded for rail project, so it can't be used for other things.
That can't be changed.
No, that would not be legal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's on a little lighter note, I mean, you've found yourself over the last 8 years in a national spotlight for a number of reasons, one of which was absolutely the worst baseball pitch I've ever seen.
That you've ever seen?
Yes, on opening day.
That's odd.
In 2007. No, it's not. It was. And it landed you on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yes,
where you had
did.
A national audience, and they played this thing over again. And then later, you did the Undercover Boss Show.
Right.
And that got a lot of national attention.
It did. And I've turned down 3 reality shows since then.
Is that right?
Just so that you know, yes.
Yeah. You know, aside from getting your name out there and making you into something of a national figure, does that do anything for the city of Cincinnati, those kind of things?
I never really saw any of that as an opportunity to advance myself. I mean, keep in mind, as you pointed out, this was the worst pitch that anyone had seen who's been watching baseball in their entire lives.
Yes, I agree.
How would anyone assume that I could take something like that and turn it into a positive for myself as a politician? I mean, usually those are the kinds of things that can sink you, right? I mean, that's
right.
This guy can't throw, he can't lead, he's done. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this as an opportunity to bring attention to the city of Cincinnati itself. And we, in April 2007, looked at Google Trends, which is a way of tracking what people are Googling and what they're interested in. And Google hits to the city of Cincinnati went out the roof. People were wanting to know about this city. They were wanting to know about this place that has this quirky mayor who can't throw a baseball, who ended up on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. So this was an opportunity for me to bring attention to our city in a way that was a little bit different. We weren't talking about jobs. We weren't talking about the economy. We weren't talking about the budget or a streetcar project. We're just having a little bit of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you have an avenue like that, you get a level of attention that is of more benefit than any of the sort of heavy subjects that you could bring forth.
Right. Well, and going back to the streetcar and the parking meter lease, these issues clearly had a big impact on the recent election and the election of John Cranley and several new members of council. Do you feel, I mean, looking back at it, that you and the supporters of these initiatives on council could have done a better job of selling them to the public?
Well, I think that the people who are opposed to both of those projects are people who didn't find much value in them for themselves, didn't really accept the facts that we gave them about the value of the projects. But if you look at the results of the election and the turnout, you'll realize that a lot of people just didn't show up.
Right.
And so one thought is the people who think that Cincinnati is on the right path and things are going well, maybe they didn't find there to be much at stake.
And that's why you ended up with 28.8% turnout in the city of Cincinnati.
Exactly. So the people who were fired up about the streetcar and fired up in opposition to the parking lease said, I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
Make my voice heard. The people who feel like, oh, you know, Cincinnati's doing fine.
Well, generally in politics, I mean, if people who are mad about something in a low turnout election,
right,
those are the ones who turn out.
Exactly.
And you believe that's what happened.
I strongly believe that's what happened.
Yeah. It's when you look, I mean, is there any particular unfinished business that you would have liked to have carried through that you simply ran out of time doing?
I have accomplished everything on earth.
Is that right? Have you? Yeah.
No, there are plenty of things that I would have wanted to continue to work on, but, you know, you can only do what you have time and resources to do. As I looked over my announcement speech, my inaugural speech, I went back and looked at some of the things that I talked about on the campaign trail, and I feel very good about what we accomplished versus what I said we were going to do.
Any particular mistakes that you would like to go back and have a do-over?
I've never made a single mistake. Come on, Howard.
Is that right?
I've never made one mistake ever.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course we make mistakes, but I don't live in a world where I look back and say, gee, I wish I'd done this better. That's just not part of my personality.
Yeah. I mean, I know you come from a background of politics. I mean, that was, you know, the family franchise for the Mallory family, and has been for many years with your father,
and it will continue to be.
And it will continue. Your legislative style was sometimes criticized by, you know, others on council and others in the community. You know, that you would basically run roughshod over. A council majority that had an idea that you didn't like. You'd do like a pocket veto, in effect, by not putting things on the agenda. I mean, is that a valid criticism?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
The leader of the legislative body, whether it happens to be the mayor at the city council level, the Speaker of the House at the State House, or the President of the Senate, or the Speaker of the House in Congress, or the leader in the Senate, has the ability to set the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the process works. And, you know, we changed the charter in 2001 to give the mayor the enhanced ability to control the agenda. Part of the criticism prior to that was the mayor was simply a member of council and could not control the docket. So you give the mayor the ability to control the agenda. I controlled the agenda, and then people got upset.
Yeah. What's next for Mark Mallory?
Don't know yet.
Yeah.
Thinking a bartending job or something along those lines. I was going to go and work in a video store, but they don't really have those anymore, so I could restock
stand-up
red
comedy
boxes. But, you know, early
done
on,
a little bit of that.
Some might say my last 8 years were nothing but a stand-up act. I don't know. I like to make people laugh. I like to enjoy myself. I certainly have accumulated a lot of stories, not just over the last 8 years, but the last 19 years that I've been elected to public office. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do yet. I know that whatever I do, it will be of benefit to the citizens. It will be of benefit to cities, and it will be of benefit to the general public.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.